I myself am convinced, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, complete in knowledge, and competent to instruct one another. I have written you quite boldly on some points as to remind you of them again, because of God's grace gave me to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles, with the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God, so that the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I have said and done, by the power of signs and miracles through the power of the Spirit. So from Jerusalem all the way around to Iconium, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. And it has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. Rather, as it was written, those who were not told about him will see, and those who have not heard will understand. That is why I often have been hindered from coming to you. Here ends the reading of God's word. His blessing abides upon it. Shall we pray together? Lord, we thank you for your holy word to us. We thank you for what you've been teaching us through the book of Romans and our relationship with you. And Lord, help us to not only hear from you, but to apply it to our life. And so this morning again, we ask that your Holy Spirit, who is our teacher, who is with us this morning, will take your word and open it to our hearts as you have revealed it to us and as you revealed it to the Apostle Paul. And so, Lord, your Spirit has been given to give us understanding and truth. So, Lord, help us to see you in your word this morning, to hear from you anew and afresh. Feed our hearts with the bread of life and nourish our spirit this morning with the water of life this morning, that we may be refreshed in and through you. That leaving here this morning, we will know that it has been good to be in your house. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. This being Mother's Day this morning, we want to honor our mothers, and we thank you, Lord, for the mothers in our life that have an influence on us. But when I was growing up, it was always understood, or thought it was understood by my mother especially, that I was going to be in the ministry, that I was going to be ending up a pastor someday. My dad was a pastor, and my mother kind of always had it in her heart that I was going to be a pastor too. And so I grew up with that. In fact, my mother would take every opportunity that she had to kind of help instruct me along that way. And I remember growing up in Youth for Christ, and if any of you remember Youth for Christ, they used to have what they called back then young preacher schools. And my mom would always sign me up to go to these young preacher boy schools to be taught how to be a preacher boy. And that was fine, and I enjoyed those things. But it put some confusion in my heart for a while, and I appreciate her desire. But when I was in junior in high school, I felt as my dad was having a revival meeting that night, and he was preaching, and an invitation was given. I felt that night that the Lord was speaking in my heart through a spirit to come forward and to surrender to go into full-time ministry as a pastor. And I kind of felt that urging in my heart, and I went forward that night, and I prayed, accepted that calling that I thought God was placing on my heart for going to ministry. That was a junior high school. I went off into college preparing to be a pastor. But you know, even though I made that call, that was not the end of it for me. Because even after I'd come forward that night and accepted this is what God called me to do, I still had a struggle in my heart. And I was struggling because the struggle was I going into the ministry because it was something my mother and family expected me to do, to go, quote, into the family business? Or was it something really God was calling me to do? And I had to come to that point in the struggle in my life to really understood that, yes, this was something God had called me to do into ministry, because we believe that unless you know, you should not be a pastor unless God calls you. I serve with the Pastoral Assessment Center every year, and part of our role there is to assess whether men feel that they're truly called by God into ministry, and that's important. And yes, there's people that God calls into full-time ministry. And Paul, as we've been reading his letter, God was one of those people that the Lord called into full-time ministry. But as we get to this point today in this letter, we see that God's not just calling pastors into ministry. You are a minister too. Did you realize that? And you say, what? Me? A minister? Do you ever think of yourself as a minister of the gospel? But yet God calls every single one of us into ministry. It may not be full-time. It may not be as a pastor or a missionary. It may not be to stand up before the congregation and to share the word of God. But yet God has called you to be a minister for him. In the front of our bulletin, we emphasize that where it has Thelma's name as our wonderful organist. And right below her name, it has our ministers listed. And who's listed there? It says all of us. Because every single one of us are called into ministry. As we come to this point of Romans, Paul is now finally starting to begin his conclusion. He has taught us what it means to have that right relationship with God. He's taught us about the importance of knowing that, how to be justified by faith. He's taught us about how to live in a way to live that out, how to grow that in our life through the power of the Holy Spirit. And now he's beginning to draw his conclusion. And he starts it here, but it's not going to end till we get to the end of chapter 16. But he shares in it some personal things about his life and about his calling, and how God had called him into ministry, particularly to be a minister to the Gentiles, that we who were not Jewish would come to know faith in Christ. But through his example and through his sharing with us, we can learn, discover three truths about your personal call and my personal call to ministry. Because I want you to understand, and God wants you to understand this morning, that you are in the ministry. And God called you to be a minister too. So what does that mean? Let's discover that together. Three truths. And the first one we see is found in verse 14. That as believers in Jesus, we all are ministers of Christ. If you know Christ as your Savior and you have been saved, you become a minister for Jesus. That word minister, someone who serves him. That's basically what it is. Minister is someone who serves, and someone who serves God. And he's called all of us into that. Verse 14 says, I myself am convinced, my brothers, that you yourselves, he's talking to them, he's talking to the Romans, you yourselves are full of goodness and complete in knowledge and competent to instruct one another. Have you ever thought of yourself as a minister? Well, according to God's word, that's what you are. We believe in what the Bible teaches is called the priesthood of all believers, is that every believer is a priest. And every believer is a minister for Jesus Christ. Let's look at the word of God and we'll see some evidence. Let's first go to Exodus chapter 19. And those are all on here. Exodus chapter 19. Verses 3 through 6. And turn with me there. And this is what God said to his people Israel through Moses. They had assembled at Mount Sinai. They had come out of Egypt. They had come through the Red Sea. They were standing before God to get his laws, his commands before them. And he says, and Moses went up to God in verse 3. And the Lord called him from the mountain and said, this is what you were to say to the house of Jacob and what you were to tell the people of Israel. You yourself have seen what I did to Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all the nations, you will be my treasured possession. And although the earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites. So God reminding his people that they were to be priests, ministers for him. We see that throughout the Old Testament. Turn to 1 Peter as we go into the New Testament. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. As Peter was speaking to, writing his letter to the church, to us, reminding us of who we are in Jesus. He says this in verse 9 of the second chapter, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, so that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. And turn with me to Revelation chapter 5, verse 10. Revelation 5, 10, as at the end of the scripture, as we're standing before the Lord, and here's a picture of John as the revelation, everyone standing before the Lord, the whole church, the redeemed. And it says this as they're standing around the throne of the Lamb, chapter 5, verse 10, you have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. So we see throughout scripture from beginning to end, the Bible teaches that you and I are called to be priests, ministers for him. And that's who we are. Why? Because we all bear his likeness. It says that, verse 14, you yourselves are full of goodness. That goodness is the goodness not in ourself, but it's a goodness that comes from the Lord himself as he clothed us with his righteousness. And every believer has been clothed with his character in that we bear his likeness, making us part of who we are and called in him. Again, in Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 20, Paul says that he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or dominion. All things were created before him and for him, and he is head over all things, the church. And going down to chapter 2, verse 9, he says that this, he says, for in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And that all the fullness of Jesus and who he is indwelling in you and in me. And that we bear his likeness, and we all have his knowledge. He says back in verse 14 that you yourselves, all of you, are complete in knowledge. That word complete is a word that means mature or maturing in or come to the fullness of. And Paul says that you and I all have knowledge in him. And Matthew chapter 13, verses 10 to 11, Jesus was talking here, and the disciples, Jesus had just given them a parable about the parable of the soils, and they didn't understand what he meant. And so they said, why are you talking in parables? We don't understand what you're saying. And in Matthew 13, verses 10 to 11, Jesus said this to them. He said, the disciples asked him, why do you speak in parables? And he replied, verse 11, the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you, but not to them, talking about unbelievers. Whoever has will be given more, but he will have in abundance. Whoever does not have will be taken from him. But this is why I speak in parables. But he said, the secrets of the kingdom have been given to you. Unbelievers don't have that knowledge, but if you know Jesus Christ, he's saying you have the knowledge of the word. You have the knowledge of the truth. And so that makes every one of us able, he says, to teach and have confidence. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 27, Jesus, John writing to the church, told us this. And you may not have thought of this, but John reminds us of this in chapter 2, verse 27. He says, I am writing this so that no one will lead you astray. For as for you, the anointing you have received from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you all things, and that anointing is real and not counterfeit. He says that you have the Holy Spirit in you and is our teacher, giving you knowledge of the truth. And so through that, Paul says, I'm confident that you have knowledge in him, continuing to grow in that, showing that he's given us that ability. And also the last part of verse 14, he says, I'm sure confident to instruct one another, and that we all are able to teach and admonish the others. That's what they're saying there. As Paul says, it's called to the ministry that every single one of you is competent to instruct each other. You may say, but Dan, I don't feel confident to do that. But he says, we're all able to teach and admonish what we've learned. In Sunday school this morning, we were talking about the importance of, was we learn the word of God, sharing with others what we've learned. And Paul says that we all have that competency through the power of the Holy Spirit. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, Peter again writing to the church, reminded him of that and that ability that we have in Christ. In 2 Peter 1, verse 3, he says this. He says, "For his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness." In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 27 says, "Let's not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another on all the more as we see the day approaching." And in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 48, we're told there that to take the word of God and then press it upon your children. And one of the best ways in which we're called to teach is to begin with your family. And take your children and your grandchildren and share with them what you've learned in your walk with Christ over the years. God's made you a minister, first of all, within your family. And share with your children and your grandchildren what you've learned about Christ by walking with him through the years. And sharing that one to the next generation and how important that is. We talked about that in Sunday school this morning too. The importance of sharing the word with others. So as believers in Jesus, we all are ministers of Christ. He's given that call to all us. But second, as fellow ministers, we all are to do our part to help bring people to Jesus. Notice what Paul says. He said, "I've written to you quite boldly on some points as to remind you of them again. But for the grace God gave me to be a minister of Christ to the Gentiles with the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of Christ so that the Gentiles may become an acceptable offering to God." Paul saw his role to God as being a minister of the Gentiles to help bring them to faith in Christ. But God has given you and I gifts, and we all have been given gifts to use in ministry. Ephesians chapter 4, he says the word here, by the grace given me. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4, and we see Paul using that same word, talking about the gifts he's given to us. In Ephesians 4, verse 7, Paul says this. He says, "For by the grace given to me, for by the grace given to me, that Christ came." Let's turn there. Ephesians 4, 7, what does it say? "But by the grace given to that has been given to me as Christ is apportioned to each one of us, grace has been given." That Christ has given those gifts to every one of us. And dropping down to verses 11 to 16, he said he gave some apostles, pastors, the prophets, teachers, but to prepare God's people for works of service so that the whole body may be built up until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. And in Romans chapter 12, Paul's speaking again about the importance of that. And he says that he's given all of us those grace gifts again. In Romans chapter 12, verse 6 through 8, he says, "We all have been given different gifts according to the grace given us. And if one man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it's serving, let him serve. If it's teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it's leadership, let him give diligently. But showing mercy, do cheerfully." The point Paul's making there is every one of us has been given a gift. Whatever it is, use it. And it's important to do our part. We all have a part to play, and every part is essential in bringing people to Christ. Paul says, "My role," he said in Romans 12, "was to be a minister to the Gentiles so that the Gentiles could come to know Jesus." But God has given you a role that only you can do. And he's given you the gifts and the ability to do your part and to bring others to Jesus in many different ways. And let me illustrate it now, how every part is essential and needed. I love Southern Gospel Quartet singing. And especially if you hear a good old Southern Gospel Quartet in that four-part harmony, or Barbershop Quartet if you've ever heard that. But as the men sing, there's the part that is really well heard is the lead. Everybody knows the lead part, and you can hear the lead singer, and without the lead singer carrying the melody, it will fall flat. But then there's the high tenor, and often when the high tenor will hit those high notes and go way up high, it causes thrill to the crowds, and then you have the bass singer. And the bass singer, he's those low notes way down there. It sometimes makes the building rumble when they hit so low. Everybody hears the high, everybody hears the low, and everybody hears the lead. But smack in the middle of that is the baritone singer. And the baritone singer, no one ever hears. His baritone note is very, the baritone part is very melodic, I mean very boring. But without the baritone part being there, the quartet would not be complete. And the baritone singer is to do his role so that the whole quartet sounds well. And that's how it is in the church, that God has given every one of us a part to play, and every single part is needed to bring someone to Jesus. And without us doing our part, then the gospel won't go forward. And maybe it's giving. And maybe your role was just to be giving, and through giving, not bringing attention to yourself, but through that, through your giving, the gospel will continue to go on to mission fields around the world, and people can come to know Jesus. That if it wasn't for you playing your part through giving, serving behind the scenes, people wouldn't know and be brought to Jesus. Maybe it's cleaning. Maybe it's just doing a lot of different things in ways that of service that people don't see. But you know what? God does. And Jesus says that even a cup of cold water given in his name, he notices. And I think of, maybe it's like a way, Operation Christmas Child Shoebox. By giving that, as we come together and as we pack, and you're gone shopping, and you're packing stuff for in the shoebox, that's only one part of it. But as you fill that box and you pack it and put it and send it away in prayer, that's one step in bringing people to Jesus. Then the people in the countries receive that, and they take it and they distribute it. And through that, children are coming to Jesus. But if you wasn't packing the box, if you wasn't shopping and praying, those children wouldn't come to know Jesus. How important that is. Every little part, and you play. As a fellow ministers together, we all do our part to help bring people to Jesus. Isn't that great? And if one part is missing, then the link in the chain is weaker, and people won't come to know Christ. There's a story in the Bible about four men who brought their friend to Jesus. And in Mark chapter 2, it tells us about it, that he was paralyzed and he couldn't walk. And he was on a bed, and they brought him to Christ. And they carried him and led him down into the presence of Jesus. But those four men, as they carried that role, each one of them did their part to help bring their friend to Christ. You say, it wasn't much. What if only three men were there and not someone didn't have the foresight? Or what if two people tried to do it instead of not having the four? But all four of them working together did their part, and they brought him to Jesus. And they all had a part to play. Every single one of us are a minister gifted by God to do our part to help bring Jesus. What is your role? Pray that you know that the Holy Spirit has revealed that to you. And thirdly, as ministers of Christ, we are to do all things for his glory. Paul goes on to say in verses 17 through the end of this section, therefore I will glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. Paul said, I don't serve him for myself. What I do is for the glory of God. And when God gifts you as a minister and you use your gifts for him, we don't do it for our glory, we do it for him, because it's his work, not ours. Paul said, glory goes to Christ. And whatever we do for the kingdom, we do in the name of Jesus Christ. We do it for his glory and for his honor. And it's his power that works through us and gives us ability. Notice what he says here. He says, what has been done through me? He said, it is by verse 19, it is by the power of signs and miracles through the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul said, it's not me, it's God at work through me. And it's the Spirit's power that works through you and I and gives us the ability to do what we do for him and in him. And that takes away all pride when we realize it's not us, it's Jesus. It's not our work, it's about him. It's about bringing glory to him. And it's his leading that guides us and shows us what to do. Notice what he says here. He said, it was my ambition in verse 20. It was my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ hasn't been known. But he said, that's why I was hindered from coming to you. And Paul built his life on the leading and the guidance of the Holy Spirit and trusted to him to lead him what to do. And through his Holy Spirit at work within us, he gives us direction and guidance, leading us and directing our very life as we trust in him. So every one of us are called into ministry. Yes, you are a minister for Christ. And God has gifted you and I to do our part. And as fellow ministers, we all need to do our part together. And in doing that, when God works through us, to bring glory to Him, because it's all about Him. Paul says, I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God, not to me, for it's His power at work through us. Yes, God has called you to be a minister, maybe not a pastor, but a minister for Him. And who is it that you can reach this week? Write down on your paper a name, on your bottom of your paper, a name of a person God wants you to minister to this week. Maybe it's a neighbor, maybe it's someone in your family. Start with someone you know, but who is it? Maybe someone within the church, but who is it that Christ wants you to minister to this week and show His grace and love to? Because God's given every one of us that calling. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your calling in our life, that every one of us are ministers. We may not have looked at ourselves as that way, but You have called us all and given us all that ability through Your Holy Spirit and the competency to instruct others what we have learned from You. Maybe not in the deep things of the faith, but we can teach others what we have learned and what we've experienced in our walk with You. And Lord, that's our calling for every one of us, to pass that on to children, grandchildren, to those around us that don't know You. And Lord, to do our part, whatever it may be, in the giftings that You've given us to help bring people to You. And in the end, when that happens, Lord, that we don't do it for our glory, we do it for Your glory and honor through the power of Your Holy Spirit, because it's Your work that we do, it's not ours. And You've called us, Lord, to be ministers of Jesus, of Your grace in a hurting world that so desperately needs to know and see You and have hope and love in You. So Lord, show us through Your Spirit how You've gifted us. And show us, Lord, through Your Spirit this week who it is that You want us to minister to this week. And the people that You bring into our lives, maybe even total strangers, and as we're going through the grocery store, maybe just someone's having a rough day, and maybe even just showing them Your kindness and ministering Your love to them. But wherever it may be, give us those opportunities this week. And Lord, help us to see Your calling in our life to be fellow ministers of Your grace to a hurting world. And so thank You, Lord, that Your will is done through us. Your work is done, and may we be Your hands and feet this week through Jesus Christ, in whom we pray. Amen. As we close this morning, take our red hymnal and turn